Shalom, and welcome to Ve'ahavta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Although the things of God may surprise us, there is indeed a consistency with God. And what do I mean by that? God works within the structure of His revelation. When I speak of revelation, I'm talking about the Word of God. Well, last week we began our study of the Gospel according to Luke. And we see that Luke undertook this assignment to write down in order the things that related to the person and the work of Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus Christ. And we saw that it went quickly to the life of one family, a priest by the name of Zechariah, and his wife, Elizabeth, that they were righteous individuals. They walked in the commandments and the ordinances of the Word of God, that they were committed, but they lacked a child. There was something missing, and we're going to see how God moves to fulfill what is missing. Now, here's the question I have for you. Do you recognize that there is something missing in your life? If you have not received that gospel, if you have not experienced the grace of God, that redemptive work of God through the blood of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ, then there's something seriously missing in your life. And who is that? God. If you have not accepted Yeshua, the Son of God, into your life, you have no relationship with God. You have not experienced that reconciliation with God. That means you are left to yourselves and in a hopeless situation. Only through redemption, that faith in the work of Messiah, what He did upon that cross, and that He just didn't die for your sins and mine, but God the Father raised Him from the dead. When you believe in that, what does the scripture say? That you become a new creation. That is, you become a kingdom creation. Your citizenship is not just in this world, but primarily, you belong to the kingdom of God. Being that new creation, you're going to see things differently, and you're going to have access to God's provision by means of the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that you can live very differently, that you can live distinctly in this world and be a witness, a testimony for the kingdom of God. And we're going to see how God is going to use one family in order to teach us so much about the nature of God. So with that said, take out your Bible, look with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to continue where we left off last week. Look with me, if you would, to verse 8, where it says, "But it came about as he was serving as priest." Now, that expression, serving as priest, is just one word in the Greek language. It speaks about this one, Zacharias, or Zechariah in Hebrew. This one doing what he's called to do, that God has given him this priesthood to serve. And notice what it says. It came about as he was serving as priest in the order of his, notice this assignment, this rotation of the priests, that he was serving in this before God. So he is a faithful priest, and it says in verse 9, according to the custom of the priests. And this is something that we don't fully understand. But it says he was serving according to the custom of the priests, for the lot of the incense, meaning that lot fell upon him, Zechariah, to go and offer up. This was done by a tradition of the priests. They would come up a couple times a year, according to their rotation, in addition to the festivals that all the priests would come up. They would come up a couple times a year to serve. And in the midst of that, they had a tradition where by lot they were given their assignments. And it just so happens that Zechariah, the lot fell upon him to go into the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place where there was the golden altar of incense, where he would offer up the incense offering. Now, if you're a good student of the Bible, you'll remember something. The incense offering, as it goes up, the book of Revelation tells us that this is in agreement with the prayers, the people. When that priest would offer up the incense, that they would go up to heaven as a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. They accompanied this incense. They accompanied the prayers of the people. And it's easy to see, we want our pleased prayers to be pleasing to God. And therefore, people would offer up prayers with the incense offering in order that their prayers would be also received by God in a sweet manner, that he would have favor upon them. And this is what's going on, and it was Zacharias that was called to do it at this time. So notice what it says. Verse 9, where we read, "And after entering into the sanctuary," this is relating to that holy place of the Lord. And what happened? Verse 10. "And all the multitude of the people," what were they doing? This multitude were praying. Not surprising to us. They were praying because this is the tradition during the time of the incense offering. And what do you think they were praying for? Well, their great desire, and remember the context. We were told last week that this was all going on, what we're studying, when Herod was king over Judah. Now, he, by nature, is an Edomite, which is an enemy of God. So why do we have an Edomite? Now, some would say he converted. He converted for power, so that he could fulfill his objectives and be the king. But he was not a good king. He was not sensitive to the things of God. He was the king of Judah, but nothing like what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what he is like. He ruled, and hear this, he ruled for Rome. It was Rome who put him in power. And therefore, what do you think the context is? The people were praying for redemption. They were praying for liberty. Liberty from Rome in order that they could serve God. In the same way that the people in Egypt, they wanted that same liberty to be set free from Pharaoh in order that they could serve God. So they were praying for that type of change. That's the context of what we're reading. So again, verse 10. "And all the multitude of the people," they were praying, notice what it says, outside the holy place, "at the hour of the incense offering." Verse 11. But, now this is again that conjunction that shows something of a difference. God was going to move in a distinct way, in an unusual way here at this time. So at that time, notice what it says, "but the angel of the Lord appeared to him," that is to Zechariah. Remember something. When it says the angel of the Lord, this is important. Not just an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. If you do a good study throughout Scripture, whenever we see that term, the angel of the Lord, realize something. The context switches to salvation. God moving and redeeming the people so that they can become a saved people. And so when we read here in Luke's gospel and we come across the term, the angel of the Lord, that should be understood as a clue to the reader, that is to you and me, about something. And what is that? God is getting ready to move and bring salvation to the people. And in Luke's gospel, what's unique is that it's just not for the Jewish people, but Luke writes in a very broad way, presenting Messiah as the Savior of the world. And this salvation is going to be offered through one means, very important, that is through Messiah, this one who we'll talk about in a moment. But notice how the context is. Verse 11 once more. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, I would just highlight in my Bible, I underline the term standing. Why? Because when you look at it in the original language, something is being expressed that is lost in translations. And what is that? Well, we might translate it, he was standing at the right side of the incense offering. But when we look at the scripture grammatically, it puts us in a tense that says he had been standing there for a while, he is standing there now at that time, and he's going to continue to be at the right side of this incense altar. Now, why is that important? Well, we learn the offering up of the incense is something that corresponds, relate to the prayers of the people. And it tells us something. See, these prayers had been made for a long time. God was aware of that. But now, at this unique time, God was going to move to answer these prayers. In other words, restoration was coming. God was going to move in a unique way, in a powerful way, through what this gospel is going to focus in order to reveal God as this mediating God, this God that brings about reconciliation between sinful humans and a holy God. This is what this is foreshadowing for us. So we see here that the angel of the Lord appeared to him, this one standing at the right side of the altar of incense, verse 12. And Zacharias, seeing, it says he was troubled. So he saw this angel and it troubled him. Why? Well, this angel, a holy angel, one that was sent by God. This was not something that Zacharias saw frequently. This was a unique occurrence. And when he witnessed this one who is the representative of this holy God, it says, first and foremost, and he was troubled, that is, Zacharias, seeing this, and fear fell upon him. But notice the response, verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not fear, Zachariah, because your prayer has been heard. And what is his prayer? Well, remember, what were we told last week? We were told that even though they were righteous, they were committed, they were faithful to the things of God, there was not that child. Now, the Bible says that children are the fruit of the womb. They are a blessing. And what was missing in their life? They were faithful, but where's the blessing? See, a blessing is the outcome of God's faithfulness to those who deserve it, those who have lived in a way that the blessing should come. But there was no blessing. There was not that faithful outcome of God. Why? Well, the problem was sin. And in order for the blessing to come, there had to be redemption. That's what was needed. It was only redemption that can solve the problem, whereby those who God wants to bless, and God is a blessed God. They can be blessed. In other words, there is no redemption, or there's no blessing without redemption. Blessing only comes as an outcome after redemption has been accomplished. And this is what this gospel is going to reveal to us. So look again. It says that he was troubled, but the angel said, don't be fearful, because it has been heard your prayer. And notice what it says. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son to you. So there's going to be a birth of a son. Now, what's important to remember is this. They were well advanced in age. Notice something. Even though they had gone past the time of being able, in the physical sense, to get pregnant and have a child. We were told Elizabeth and Zachariah were well advanced in years. But you know what? That physical truth, they were too old for a child. But they didn't stop praying. Zechariah continued to pray for that child, even when, from a physical standpoint, there was no reason to believe that. That's the type of faith that is pleasing to God. That is the type of faith that causes God to move in our circumstances. God loves to do that which the world thinks is unable to be done. So again, he says, this angel of the Lord says boldly, your wife will bear to you a son, and you shall call his name Yohanan. Now, your Bible may say John, but Yohanan is what the Hebrew is. And why is that important? Because Yohanan speaks about the God who is gracious. And this is foundational, because it's God's grace that leads him to do the work of redemption. Now, I've said several times, redemption is necessary. What is redemption? Well, it's an accounting term, a business term. Why? It involves a purchase. A price must be paid. And according to the spiritual and the scriptural context, it must involve blood. And through this purchase, by means of blood, there's a change. There's a change of ownership. Remember what the scripture says. You have been bought with a price. What's that price? The blood of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. He gave his life in order that we can be eternally redeemed. And through that redemption, remember what we learned. What should we expect? Through redemption, blessing comes. That's the good news. This is what we need to expect. When I am redeemed by the grace of God, God is going to move in my life and position me in order that he can bless me. And a faithful person is going to want to submit to God's leadership to move and be repositioned in the will of God, doing the things of God, so that God will bless us. This is what is being taught here. Look at verse 14. Because of this, it says, and joy will be to you, and rejoicing or gladness, and many at his birth, they will also be glad or rejoice. So we see that because of God beginning to do this work of redemption, and we'll talk more about why I say beginning in a moment, this is going to bring a great joy, a great gladness upon the people. Now, I hope you see the nature of God. God likes to cause you to rejoice. God likes to make people glad. That's his nature. But you're only going to experience that through the parameters that he sets, according to a very stringent and restrictive way. There's one way. When we talk about redemption, there's only one means of redemption. Man is not able to solve his problem. remember the context. We have an old couple, well advanced in years. From the natural, they can't have that child. It's just not humanly possible. That's true. But God is able to take what is humanly impossible and make it a reality. It's not a problem for God. All God does to bring the supernatural change is to simply to speak. God, through His Word, brings about a change. That's what we need to remember. The Word of God brings about a glorious change in a person's life. The context for all of that God is doing is joy and gladness. Look, if you would, to verse 15. For he shall be great before the Lord, and wine and strong drink he will not drink. And the Holy Spirit he will be filled with still in his mother's womb. Now, again, that term, the Holy Spirit, if you go to a passage of Scripture that's read every day in the synagogue, and I'm speaking about Isaiah chapter 59, verses 20 and 21, it speaks about God moving to redeem, and the outcome of this redemption is that He's going to give His Spirit. So we see here that through this child being born, and remember, we're speaking about John, more precisely the one who we know as John the Baptist. He is going to begin this work. He is going to begin to prepare the people for what God's going to do through Messiah in order to bring them redemption, which will position them to be recipients of God's blessings. And when you know God's blessings, you're going to know that joy and that gladness. It says here again, this one not drinking wine or any type of strong drink, alcohol. It shows a commitment. It speaks of his sanctification, set apart for a purpose. This relates to a vow, the Nazarene vow. Why? Because this is when you go before God in order to petition him for an outcome. And this is the context. Remember the incense offering? It's when the people are praying, the multitude, for that redemption, that salvation. And we see that this one, John, is foundational to that, beginning it. Notice what it says. Look now at verse 16. And many. Now, this term many speaks of the vast majority. And many of the sons of Israel, they will turn unto the Lord their God. What a wonderful thing. There is going to be, in the end, a great change among the Jewish people. This is what God's up to. This is what He's about. And we need to be prepared and understanding what's happening. Look now to verse 17. And He will go before Him. Now, wait a second. We're speaking about John the Baptist. And then it says, and He will go before Him. Who's the Him? Well, this term is emphatic. When we look at it in the original language, that Him that we're talking about is emphasized. And who are we speaking about? We're speaking about Messiah. That John the Baptist, as we all know, is the forerunner. He is the one that prepares the way. This one who cries out in the wilderness and makes the way straight for Messiah. So when we look at here and it says, and He will go before Him, meaning this, He is going to be the forerunner for Messiah. And He is going to do so, speaking of John, in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Well, this is another clue, because if you read, and we just studied the prophecy of Malachi, and in Malachi, the last chapter, it speaks about how God is going to send Elijah before this final work of redemption. And Elijah is going to bring about a change among the people. What change? Well, we don't have to go far, because Luke quotes it. Luke knows the scripture very well when he says, and he will turn the hearts of the father unto the children. Well, that's what it says in Malachi. Now, if we go on reading in Malachi, it says, and the hearts of the children to the father. But we don't see this. We see that it's going to go beyond simply a household. It's going to impact a nation. And that is why, if you keep reading, it says, not just turning the hearts of the fathers unto the children, but also, it says, the disobedient ones, these that have no faith, no interest in God, these disobedient ones into, and then we have a term. Now, some will say wisdom, but it's a word which means to think thoroughly, think completely. And it has to do with a perspective, a mindset, that these ones who were once disobedient, uninterested in the things of God, they are going to think how? Notice what it says. They are going to think righteously, and they are going to become ready as a people having been prepared for the Lord. This is God's purpose, and this child, Yochanan, John the Baptist, he is going to go before Messiah, and he is going to prepare the way for what Messiah is going to bring about. John simply prepares the people, but it's Messiah that is going to bring about this change, to bring about unity in the family, and also he is going to bring about a change in the nation, where those who were once formally disobedient, uninterested, they are going to become ones who think like the righteous ones. They're going to have a new perspective, a kingdom perspective. Why? As I said, righteousness and the kingdom go hand in hand. He is going to give them a way of thinking that is in agreement with the kingdom of God. And it's only then, and then only, can these people be made ready as a prepared people for the Lord. Now, isn't that exciting? That we're seeing how God is going to take disobedient people and prepare them, make them ready and prepare them of the Lord in order to serve Him. In other words, this account of Luke's gospel is speaking about a great change, a kingdom change that is going to come upon Israel. And that change is going to have an effect upon all the nations of the world. In other words, this is important.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.